Washington. Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk, call a roll.
Roll call for Thursday, March 3rd. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Amrick?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Excused.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Excused.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fleitern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Earnshaw.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are getting near the end of this legislative session. People are beginning to think about returning to their homes, rejoining the people of their communities, returning to their normal routines. Lord, I thank you for the work that these men and women have accomplished. I pray that as they have debated and worked through the many issues of the day, they have not lost their sense of hope and optimism that the process is at work and it is working. I imagine there are some who are carrying some disappointments, some who are delighted with some of the outcomes that have emerged from this session, but I would guess that every man and woman in here is sharing a mixture of joy and disappointment. Lord, whatever the emotions might be this morning, I pray that you would help every person keep sight of the bigger picture. Politics is not a process, is a process and not a destination. We are still involved with a grand experiment, and only you know how we are doing. As we push forward with this experiment, we ask for your guidance and your grace. Forgive us for our mistakes and our oversights. We really are doing the best we can. More than anything, Lord, we ask that you would unite us together as we work to make this state even greater. And we pray these things in the name of all that is holy. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March the 2nd, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. We have no doctor today, nor do we have a nurse. In this day in U.S. history, in 1845, the U.S. Congress passed legislation overriding a president's veto. Also, in 1916, there was a spinsters convention held in Gillette. Senator Von Fleitern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
You know, I didn't know quite how to relate this next great historical event in Gillette to the spinster convention in 16. But I can certainly tell you there was another great day in 1936, and that's when our former president of the Senate was born. So would everybody please rise to sing happy birthday to Senator Hines.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Actually, our colleague from Gillette beat me to this recognition this morning, and I was just going to say that today, like all days, is a good day. It's a good day because it's the last day of the session. It's a good day because the citizens of Wyoming will sleep tonight because we won't be in session tomorrow. But more importantly, it's a good day for Senator Hines. And I will tell you that having been around for his last, I'm not going to say how many birthdays, that the way he celebrated his birthday last night has changed from when he celebrated it several years ago. So happy birthday, John.
And I'll say, Senator Hines, all this is really good news to me because I know there's lots of life left after you complete this job. So. Yes, I will turn on Senator Martin's microphone to recognize Senator Coe.
You know, I wanted to bring in and thank him for the food production that he's done for us this year. Ron, would you come in here, please? And will you hold your sign up as you come in?
All right.
Senator Martin, you might read that for those of us who have a little trouble seeing just what that sign says. Would you like to read that for us?
It says, "Lost job today, we'll work for food. God bless."
It's been my pleasure to serve you. Thank you very much.
Any other privileges here? I have some. Do we have someone else? Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it right now, Senator.
Okay, Mr. President, folks, you have, it's his last day going out, you've got two packages of materials. One is the 8.5 by 14-inch paper, and then there's a summary, and then you've got your goldenrod. The goldenrod, you'll see where the last significant change to the budget is the extra $6 million that was taken out of the Senator Meyer's road bill. So after having chopped off the haircut when he got his, then that put another $6 million into it and takes that other. When you go down to other projected available balances, you'll see that there's $17 million that's going into the LSRA account. That's where that $6 million represents the unused funds there. So that when you're looking at your first page of your goldenrod, when you think in terms of how we leave the state of our finances, you have $98 million that sits in the statutory reserve, the 5% general fund reserve account. That's just to keep our balances alive. You've got about $1 billion in the legislative stabilization reserve account. By comparison, when we left a year ago, that was about $700,000. The increase, the $700 million, thank you. The increase in the $300 million, if your people are asking you where that came from, that's really the excess surplus that occurred at the end of the last biennium. So it was a one-time money. It's not ongoing money that that drove that account up to the $1 billion. When you're talking to folks and trying to explain how big that account is, we need to sort it out. But again, my rudder is you go back to the 1980s when we had a boom and the legislature accumulated $1 billion of rainy day account at the time when our general fund and budget reserve spending was about $1 billion. And we expended all that, all the way through that during the mid-90s when we were, when the stock markets were up for everybody else, the energy prices were down, and we were sucking pond water for a while. And we were looking at a $500 million deficit on a year when we had a $1 billion swing when coal bed methane was production was made economical and the property rights issues were resolved. To have that same buffer We'd have to have a $3 billion rainy day account given the size of our budget reserve and general fund. Now, I think that as we move forward, the notion is you don't create that overnight, but we're creating it about $200 to $500 million a biennium, and we're on target. So it'll take us a long time to get there, but we need to get there. One of the things that we need to be thinking about in the future is whether we ought to do a municipal rainy day account that we've done in the past to have earmarked funds there. When you turn over to the second page of your goldenrod, those are the primary bills with expenditures. By now you're familiar with that. You'll see the House Bill 147 impact. That's the excise tax vendor compensation at the top. And it now shows as a revenue reduction of about $3.2 million. And then you have your transfer to the LSRA, the $16 million, and you have the fiscal impacts of the bills. Turning to page three, the budget reserve account. Now, we should have done and we'll do a better job when we come back. What we should be doing is trying to make sure our one-time expenditures are coming out of the budget reserve account and ongoing expenditures out of the general fund. As a practical matter, the revenue sources that fill those accounts are principally severance taxes and federal mineral royalties to both accounts. But it's a good thing to always be able to look at your general fund and know what your ongoing expenses are and your budget reserve being one time. But we'll pay attention to that more next year. I think this year most of the bills got written out of the general fund. It's just the way it happened. The LSRA account, you see at the bottom of page three, and you can see the deposit into it, the $17 million. That's really the new revenue what's left of the new revenue as we came in with the new October Craig of this year. School Foundation Program account, you can see the fiscal impacts of the various bills that came through, and you'll see the $98 million at the bottom is the transfer to school CapCon account. So that $98 million, which is the second from the bottom number under the foundation program account, transfers to the school CapCon account. And then you could see that we've increased substantially the spending for schools up to $183 million, and yet we still have $314 million going into the Common School Permanent Land Fund holding account. And so that's then reflect on the next page, page five. And with the expenditures and the now the way we have it profiled, if we come back next year and don't change anything, you can see in the Common School Permanent Land Fund holding account we'll have $105 million going into the Common School Permanent Land Fund corpus. That'll really be the first time that we've had an opportunity to increase that corpus, and that money would be essentially part of what I would have called before the Hathaway excess. And the idea is to put that into the corpus of that account and start growing the corpus of the Common School Permanent Land Fund, which is just under about $2 billion. And it's really inadequate to pick up any losses of revenue at this time. So it's been our intent to try to build that account. You'll see the Municipal Solid Waste Fill account at the bottom. It's a $15 million. And then on the next page, you have your water accounts. And at the bottom, you have the Campbell County Regional Water Supply Development. But the only dollars that are profiled there are the AML funds, the $25 million. The total dollars are closer to $31 million, and to find that number, you would add the AML profiled amount, which is on the bottom of page six, with the actual amount of the bill, which is about $6.9 million, and that's over under the general fund for Senate File 103. Mr. President, that's just a run-through on the goldenrod, so that's your last refresher. The next sheet is that I've handed out is really my cheat sheet that I create because to keep things straight for me. And when I look at the accomplishments of our legislature, as you see on pages one and two of the sheet, and I think this will be helpful, I hope, to you. I find myself, partly because I'm with the JAC, having to defend what we've done, what are the groups of money, and explain to people how we do the allocations. So I broke the first one off with economic development of jobs. So with the schools for the state capital construction projects, we're leaving with about $295 million worth of capital construction going into UW, community colleges, K-12, highways, and airport improvements. And then I mentioned there that we have Senate File 144, which is the Senate file that deals with preference provisions for construction manager at risk, the CMLR projects. And then you have the Minerals Bill that was House Bill 111 dealing with public works and contracts, and that was the preferences, making more stringent the residency requirements. And the purpose of those two bills is really to make sure that $300 million that we're putting into CAPCON and anything in the budget goes really directed to our Wyoming contractors. For other economic development jobs, you've got the mega data centers, tourism, the deep water ports, the High Plains gasification funding for about $17 million. Cities, towns, and counties is important because when you look at that, the question is what have you done? Have you made a proper allocation for them? We increased by $45 million their direct funding. We've got the Gillette Water Project in there for about $31 million. Municipal landfills for $15 million. Southeast Wyoming Road Assistance, $6 million. Quiet Zones, $5 million. Southeast Wyoming Impacted Districts. You can go through the list. But you're at about $105 million that we've really earmarked for cities, towns, and counties. And while they may not be your communities, it's important for all of our communities to be strong and healthy, and we do need to take care of their special needs, which I think we've done. Page 2 just puts in a different kind of a context. Some of these dollars on page 2 are actually restatements of page 1, but you've got your endowment funds, you've got your state employees. We put in the $7.8 million for the employee market pay. We have $2.7 million for employee insurance, UW insurance about $6 million. So there's a significant amount going out to state employees, even though there's no COLAs, things like that. Health and social services, a big issue. We've got $123 million total spending that's going into Medicaid services. We have the DD funding and $25 million general fund that was in the auditor's reserve account for Medicaid was turned over and put into the general fund unearmarked. Ag, natural resources, some categories, and then you got higher education costs. So those are just the general categories. I'll run through the large sheets. They're pretty busy. They're the kind of things that you may want to go back and hopefully you'll remember these things. But the first page, these are the cheat sheets that we went through on the 8.5 by 14 in sheets. So the first page 1 through about page 16 or 18 are all of the cheat sheets. And when you want to look at the capital construction projects that we funded, they're nicely set out on about page 15 of the document, which is 15 of 16 of your cheat sheet. When you hit page 17, that is the one-page summary that you've seen that just shows the difference between the JAC recs, Gov's recs, and the final work. And they're just line items, different way to show it. Page 18 through about 22, those are just the categorical explanations of, you know, what we did by category. Page 20 is a sheet that I think you've seen now. It just shows you the reconciliation from the budget bill carried through. Sometimes the different sheets help you in different ways. Page 23 shows the final activity of the conference committee report, shows you which amendments we accepted, which ones were deleted, and which ones were deleted and further amended. And then you've got at page 27 through 28, black and white sheets to show sort of the growth in government, the growth in our budget. And page 28, we didn't spend much time on it. But when you look at page 28, you can see that that top line, we didn't talk about that, but really for the new folks, this top line is the revenue picture coming up, and then you have your expenditure. The difference between your expenditure and the actual revenues received, those were the surpluses of monies that were we received in excess of our projected earnings or revenue, and the gap there is what we would call carryover surplus. So the reason why we had so much money to spend in the peak times partly is because when we came back, we had a large amount of monies in order of sometimes close to $1 billion that had carried over from the prior biennium, and so you had this whole large reserve of money to carry over. Now as that line goes down and meets up with where your revenues hit your expenditures, what means is that you don't have these huge revenues that are one-time excesses from the last biennium. And that explains in part why we had more money to give to cities, towns, and counties and capital constructions in the 2008 to 2009 time period that we don't now, and that's because our actual revenues are very close to our actual expenditures, and we don't have that gap in carryover surpluses. These charts are all available on the website. They're colored if you want them. There will be a PowerPoint presentation that the House has been working on it. When they're finished, we'll take it and we'll update it with our numbers to actually make them accurate. But we'll email that out to you. So it's a PowerPoint on the budget and some expenditures that you can take to meetings. Mr. President, if you have any questions, I'd be delighted to have to answer them. But otherwise, that's your 2 months worth of work right there.
We would entertain questions, and I'm sure that Senator Nicholas would talk with you about this to sidebar if you so choose. Senator Nicholas, thank you. I think that really helps to clarify and for us to highlight what we've done. I think the 61st legislature can say with a good deal of confidence we're going to leave things much better than we found them when we came. So I not only compliment the appropriations people, but the whole body. I think that this has been one of the hardest working and most responsible sessions that we've ever had. And so going on then, thank you, Senator Nicholas. I want to take a moment, Leo. Time to go to the woodshed. Not really. Leo, if you want to come over here to the guest mic.
Thank you.
We realized you had other obligations and you weren't able to spend the whole time with us, but I have to tell you that short time you've been here, you've represented yourself very well, and we found you to be a fine young man. We're very glad that you came, and we're glad to have you. In addition to your spiffy little pin here, we'd like to have you take this resolution with you. And what this is a resolution to recognize your service as page to the Wyoming Senate. And it's signed by all the members here. And I would say in terms of that, it's just with great appreciation for what you've done. We recognize your dedication. We hope that you can go back to school and understand you're a senior and got aspirations to go to the University of Wyoming. You want to be a petroleum engineer. And so like everything, like we've seen the last few days here, it's all a sprint to the finish. So go home and work hard. If you'd like the mic, you're certainly entitled to a few minutes at the mic. But thank you so much.
I just want to say thank you to all you guys. This has been a really great experience. I was a little bit nervous at first because I didn't know what to expect, but it's really been good, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be your page. Thank you.
I think we have some unfinished business. We'll go ahead with some joint conference committee reports. Senator Landon, the first one I have here is yours in regard to message number 444. Are you ready? I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 38, School Activities Safety, reference House Message Number 444. Signing for the House, Representative Teeters and Bonner. Signing for the Senate, Senators Landon, Nutting, and Perkins.
Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message 444, referencing Senate File 38, and ask the body to vote aye. If you saw us come back over from the House yesterday, you might have seen that I was limping a little bit, but I've healed up nicely by today. I'm not going to lie to you. This is not the bill that left the Senate. You will recall that Senate File 38 was an effort by the Senate to draw attention to elevate the awareness of concussive injuries in our high school activities. Along with that, the bill that we sent over issued some pretty strong guidelines with regard to athletic safety. And then along with that, we wanted to make sure that parents and athletic trainers, coaches out there received the kind of education that we felt was necessary so that we could pay a little bit better attention to concussions in our high schools. You know, that said, what the House did, fellow senators, is to do a rewrite on second reading. I alluded to that before we went over to the conference committee. And what they did was to essentially issue a mandate to the state superintendent of public instruction to issue protocols with regard to concussion. And then along with that, issued a mandate to the boards of trustees out across to every single district in Wyoming, requiring that those districts establish concussion protocols. You know what? I don't think that's a bad thing. There's no question that that's a little bit softer approach than what the Senate sent over there. But nevertheless, I think that this version that we bring back to you does have some good things in it. If our goal was to elevate the awareness, and second of all, to ensure the safety of our kids out there, I think this bill can still do that. And I think it guards, you remember we talked about the smaller districts. We wanted to be careful with how we approached it out there. We didn't want this to be so onerous that the small districts couldn't get it done. Well, you know what? Now those boards of trustees, those local elected officials will be taking care of that. We did, I will say, fellow senators, we held the feet to the fire, though. By gosh, we said, okay, well, we'll buy that, but we want it done right away. So we insisted that we put some dates in there. And so that's the new language that you'll see in front of you. In 21-2-202, under the state superintendent, we've asked that office develop protocols in sufficient time so that we can enable our school district to get started on these protocols right away in August of this year. We want protocols in place by this coming school year. And then in 21-3-110, under the duties of the boards of trustees, that also references the 2011-2012 school year. You will notice the language underneath the duties of the boards of trustees. That contains the language that we sent over, but it's in a different fashion. We're still going to include the training of coaches and athletic trainers. We're going to address restrictions regarding return to play. And we're also going to try to provide adequate information to our parents and students out there. It's not quite what we anticipated when it left this chamber, fellow senators, but I think it's still a good step in the right direction. I think it addresses something that we're learning more about every single day. I think it has a chance to keep our kids safe out there, and it takes place at the local level, and I think we always like that. So I would ask for your aye vote. Be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions of the senator? The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee 1 report in regard to message 444, referencing Senate File 38. You've been asked to vote aye. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis excused. Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report in regard to message 444, referencing Senate File 38.
Mr. President?
Senator Landon?
A privilege of the floor, President.
Certainly.
I did mean to mention, Mr. President, I'm sure that Senator Geis would have left an aye vote on that last one. I'm pretty sure he would have. So, thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer, I have in possession here a reference to House Message 465. Are you ready? I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 95, Legislative Committee Membership, reference House Message Number 465. Signing for the House, Representative Shepperson, Childers, and Throne. Signing for the Senate, Senators Meyer, Hastert, and Ross.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for adoption of the reference number 465 on Senate File 95. Mr. President, what we've done in this is that we receded from the non-concurrence position. If you recall, we wanted to sort out some technical things and take a look at them. We did that. The current language in the Management Council membership vacancies, we can implement the exact structure which we have today in the Senate. And so nothing will change for the next 2 years, Mr. President. The rest of the committee memberships, the different committees that we talked about, your management audit and water development and school facilities, and those different committees will have the apportionment numbers. We'll probably look at this a couple years down the road and see whether or not it has to be tweaked again when the House has the wild card. But for now, everything will work fine, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Comments? Questions? Mr. Minority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just on and asking for concurrence on this. This pretty much just reflects what we basically agreed to before the session even started. And, it reflects just what we're going to be happening for this biennium. And it really won't come back to the Senate for 4 years. And so we'll have an opportunity to look at it then.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Any other comments? The motion is that the Senate do adopt a Joint Conference Committee report on message 465 referencing Senate File 95, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis excused. Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye. Aye.
Hines. Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report on Message 465, referencing Senate File 95. Senator Esquibel, are you ready in regard to message number 441?
So I am.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 124, Overweight and Oversized Vehicle Penalties, Reference House Message number 441.
Go ahead, Senator Escobel.
I have to, signing for the House.
I'm sorry.
Representative McComey Barbuto, signing for the Senate, Senators Escobel, Christensen, and Johnson.
Now you may go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And if it's any consolation to our intern, Leo, I'm always nervous when I get up here because I'm not sure what to expect. So hope that's a consolation. Mr. President, as the body might recall, in message number 441, February 28th, the House did a couple of deletions and reinsertions, that type of thing, and we went back and met with them yesterday afternoon, and after they explained their action, it was pretty understandable in terms of the action they took. You might recall that on your gross copy, lines 11 and 12 were deleted, and the reason those lines were deleted is because of came to the attention of the House from the Department of Transportation that, and I'll read from CFR 23 CFR, which basically states that a penalty or fine schedules which impose no fine up to a specified threshold, 1,000 pounds, for example, will be considered as tolerance provisions not authorized by 23 U.S.C. 127. So that's the reason 11 and 12 were deleted. You can, Federal Government of Transportation does not allow any provision which doesn't, you have to have a fine in there, even if it's only a dollar. So 11 and 12 is deleted, and consequently on line 14, the 1001 was deleted and the zero was reinstated. And that was one way of making up for the no fine provision that that we initially had. So to that extent, if there's any questions, hopefully I can answer them. If not, maybe members of the committee that that I was on could help. But otherwise, I just ask for your concurrence. Thank you, Mr.
Questions?
President.
Seeing none. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report in regard to message 441 in reference to Senate file 124. You've been asked to vote aye, and I'd ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis excused? Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Von
Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Nicholas, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 ayes, 13 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report in regard to message 441, reference to Senate file 124. Senators, we have two pretty special people here this morning. John Rivera, who we all know, and Maxine Weaver, who we also know. And I have some special presentations for them, so I think if we will, I'll go ladies first. So, Maxine, if you'd like to come up to the guest mic. Maxine, this is a joint resolution presented to you in regard to honor your and dedicated to the honor of your retirement. joint resolution says it's providing for the recognition of Maxine Weaver's service to the Wyoming legislature and celebration of her many years of service to the state of Wyoming and expressing the deepest appreciation of the Wyoming legislature for her contribution to this institution. Maxine Weaver began working for the Legislative Service Office in 2004, served as a staff attorney until her retirement in 2011, and Maxine Weaver's areas of concentration included agriculture, natural resources, state lands, water resources, environmental quality issues, and mineral and economic development issues. And Maxine staffed a number of legislative committees, including agriculture, public lands, water resources, committees, and Minerals Business and Economic Development Committee, and also worked for the legislature, has contributed greatly to the ability of this body to serve the citizens of Wyoming, and that the work provided invaluable to this institution, to the individual members of this legislature. Therefore, it be resolved by the legislature and the state of Wyoming that the members of the Wyoming legislature sincerely thank Maxine Weaver for her dedication and service to the legislative institution, especially for her professionalism and her composure in carrying out her duties and responsibilities. That after 20 years of working for the state of Wyoming and for serving the legislative service branch for 7 years, she enjoyed many years of leisure and productive to the extent she provided to the citizens of Wyoming. That this resolution be transmitted to Maxine so that she may know very significant impact that she had on the Wyoming branch of government, and then she may feel pride in her legacy and this public service for the Wyoming legislature. And as I present this, I would say that I think Senator Geist regrets not being here today.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say that it's been an honor to work here with you all. Most of the time I work here in the legislature, I staffed here on the Senate side, so I probably know more of you in here than I do some of the House members. I'd like to introduce my family that's here with me today, my mom, Geraldine, my sister Susan, my sister Maureen, and my nephew Sheldon. Like all of you, there's, for us staff as well, there's support on the home fires while we're here. I had put in some time with the Attorney General's Office and the Department of Environmental Quality before I had the opportunity to come over here and work with you all here in the legislature. And the staff, as well as you in the seats out there, know that the time and commitments and the sacrifices you make to family and jobs, and the effort it takes to put in here at the legislature to keep the wheels of the state of Wyoming running. And so I would like to say it's been an honor and a pleasure to work with you here as members of the legislature. The committee work I did for my committees here was probably one of my highlights and one of my most pleasurable work that I did was working the committees and help with you as members to go through the committee work. I've enjoyed working with all the staff, the leadership and the Senate staff, as well as the House staff and the LSO staff. So again, thank you. This was very nice. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. I'm sorry. President said that Senator Geist would be remiss to be here. He is here in spirit. Thank you.
John, would you like to join us up here? Well, all these folks are certainly familiar faces, and they need no introduction, but this honors John Rivera upon your retirement, John, and it says that a joint resolution providing for the recognition of John's service to the Wyoming legislature in celebration of his many years of service to the state of Wyoming and expressing the deepest appreciation of the Wyoming legislature for your contribution to this institution. So be it resolved by this 61st legislature of the state of Wyoming that John Rivera began working to the working at the Legislative Service Office in 1990 and served as a staff attorney and subsequently for 10 years as senior staff attorney until his retirement in 2011. And John's areas of concentration included child support enforcement, social services issues, the judiciary, state institutions, law enforcement, domestic and juvenile issues, and mental health and substance abuses services. And John also staffed numerous legislative committees, including the Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, Joint Judiciary, Transportation and Highways, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, and numerous select committees and task forces on juvenile issues, transportation issues, mental health, and substance abuse. And John Rivera's work for the legislature has contributed greatly to the ability of the body to serve the citizens of Wyoming, and that the work provided invaluable to this institution, to individual members of the legislature. So now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming that the members of the Wyoming legislature sincerely, and we do sincerely thank John Rivera for his dedicated service to the legislative institution, especially for his professionalism and his composure in carrying out these duties and responsibilities. Also, that after 20 years of working for the Wyoming legislature, legislative branch of the government, he enjoyed many years of leisure and productivity to the extent he provided to the citizens of Wyoming. That this resolution be transmitted to John so that he may know the very significant impact that you did have on Wyoming Legislative Service Branch of Government, and that you may feel pride in your legacy of public service to this Wyoming legislature. Thank you.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I want to thank you for this honor. Over those 20 years, I was on the writing side of many of these resolutions, never thinking that someday I might actually get one myself. I thought all that time I was just doing the job I was hired to do in the best way I thought I could. Like the resolution said, I was hired in 1990, and I looked forward to the job when I was hired because it gave me the opportunity to work with the Senate and the House in articulating your policy. But more importantly than simply drafting legislation, staffing committees, I think I was honored, privileged, and blessed to have met so many wonderful and caring people, including legislators, LSO staff, and session staff. And although I worked primarily on the House side, I worked over here a couple of years. And as I was listening to the resolution, I thought, gosh, I wonder why I was so tired all the time with all the committees that I staffed. And I have to thank my wife, Ann, who through her forbearance allowed me to continue working here for another dozen years after we were married. But to keep this short, I know the session's about to end and you're all anxious to go home to family, friends, your jobs, and all those other things you've put aside for the last 8 weeks. So I just want to wish you a safe journey home, and I want to thank you for the sacrifices and efforts you make on behalf of the citizens of this great state. Thank you very much.
Senator Jennings.
Region of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, it's also mentioned by one of the staff members that as these two retirees go out, there was nothing said on their resolutions what they were going to do. And so that staff member asked that we recognize that Maxine is going to put more Wyoming beef on the market, and that John is going to make a trip on his bike up through the North Country, way up cold, where it's cold, and he'll be a writing ambassador for Wyoming, and hopefully he'll get to use all four languages that he speaks fluently on that trip. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, Senator Jennings. And we didn't really get the opportunity, but I think they're still out there. And just thank the families for allowing us to share in these people for the time that they did. So I think that we have some messages from the House.
March 3rd, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 494, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 2. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 2 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 50. The House conferees are Representative Harvey, Chairman, Representative Gingery, and Edmonds, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I think our next order of business would be enrolled acts. Is that correct? It is the time for signing of an enrolled act. The first one being Senate Enrolled Act 87. I'd ask that be read in.
Senate Enrolled Act number 87 being original Senate File 15 and act relating to court jurisdiction.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 87, referencing the original Senate File 15. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 88.
Senate Enrolled Act number 88 being original Senate File 85 and act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 88, original Senate File 85. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 89.
Senate Enrolled Act number 89 being original Senate File 146 and act relating to teacher contracts.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 89, original Senate File 146. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 92.
House Enrolled Act number 92 being original House Bill 23, an act relating to sex offender registration.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 92, original House Bill 23. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 93.
House Enrolled Act number 93 being original House Bill 29 and act relating to driving under the influence.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 93, original House Bill 29. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 94.
House Enrolled Act number 94 being original House Bill 92 and act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 94, original House Bill 92. I've so signed. I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 95.
House Enrolled Act number 95 being original House Bill 103 and act relating to the Western Regional Higher Education Compact.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 95, original House Bill 103. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 96.
House Enrolled Act number 96, being original House Bill 147, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 96, original House Bill 197. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 97.
House Enrolled Act number 97, being original House Bill 256, an act relating to domestic and sexual violence.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 97, original House Bill 256. So signed. House Enrolled Act 98.
House Enrolled Act number 98, being original House Bill 127, and act relating to school finance.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 98, original House Bill 127. So signed. House Enrolled Act 99.
House Enrolled Act number 99, being original House Bill 88, an act relating to guide and outfielders.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 99, original House Bill 88. So signed. House Enrolled Act 100.
House Enrolled Act 100, being original House Bill 100, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 100, original House Bill 100. So signed. Members of the Senate, we're joined this morning by the University of Wyoming's female a cappella group, the Bettys. These women have a broad spectrum of majors, but all share an extreme passion for music. Since their inception in the fall of 2006, I think we've been put on pause. Members of the Senate, we are joined this morning by the University of Wyoming's female a cappella group, the Bettys. These women have a broad spectrum of majors, but all share an extreme passion for music. Since their inception in the fall of 2006, the Bettys have been able to take advantage of a number of great musical opportunities. The Bettys consist of 12 women throughout Wyoming and Colorado. Senators, and as they go ahead and come on in, ladies, please help me to welcome to the floor the Bettys.
Thank you. Thank you. again, we're very honored to see you here.
Ladies, I think that demands an encore, and we have the time, and I know you have the talent, so.
Ooh, 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 oo
Before the ladies get completely out of the chamber, I want to say to the ladies, thank you. I have a formal script here, and I think it says something like, wow. Thank you again.
With that, Mr. President, I'd move that we stand at ease until the sound of the gavel.